Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of the Working While Homeschooling Podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, I have a special treat for you. We have a working while homeschooling dad. Yes, they exist. It's amazing. So today we'll be talking to Troy. So can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, my name is Troy. I'm a full-time worker and a homeschool dad. Pretty much the anomaly out there. You don't get to hear that very much.
No, we don't. And by the way, yes, audience, you heard that right. We have a working homeschooling dad on the podcast for once. Isn't that awesome? So, Troy, can you tell us a little bit, about your working homeschooling situation? What kind of work do you do?
Sure. I'm an insurance agent, and I've kind of transitioned. I still work for an insurance company, but I'm an analyst now, so I'm the numbers guy. So, you know, you look at numbers and figure out what's wrong and try to help fix it and deal with that just like most analysts do. But I do work full-time, but I work outside of the house and go to the office with most people do the, you know, it's a homeschool and you have a home business.
Right.
I would love that. It would make life a lot easier, I'll tell you that.
Right.
To be able to be home and manage it, but we both myself and my wife work full-time outside of the house, so we have to kind of figure out schedules and figure out things and stay pretty strict with schedules and be creative when we can't necessarily be here and make it work with the time that we have.
I know in our previous conversation we had talked a little bit about that schedule. Can you
sure.
share that with everyone?
Yeah.
Kind of like how, because there are a lot of homeschooling parents that come to me and say, but, you know, my job isn't going to be work from home a bull, you know, so
right.
how do we make this happen?
Sure. And I do a full-time job. Plus I have kind of a part-time job where I probably put like 20 hours a week in also, or 15, depending on what I'm doing. Cause I have, I race cars and I own a race car team and own the car and go around and I'll race it. And then people will pay me to race it too. Cause we do endurance racing where you race for like a whole day.
Right.
So I do that cause that's my passion. That's what I love to do. And the kids know that. And they're like, what's daddy going to do today when he has time? They're like, he's going to work on his race car. I'm like, yeah, man, got to do it. But what I do is both me and my wife work 4 days a week and we work basically 10-hour days. Luckily, I can work like Tuesday through Friday. She works like Monday through Thursday. So I always have them on Mondays. She always has them on Fridays. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll do my sister-in-law, who's really good with the kids. They love her. And she does good too. And then we have my mom, which we call Nana, and she'll watch them too. So we have a whole schedule set up a month ahead. And everybody works. And my sister-in-law is an EMT and fire. I say fireman, but she's firewoman. And they work 24-hour days. And they'll work, like, let's say, one day on, a day off, a day on, 2 days off. So we can kind of know her schedule a month ahead. So she'll watch them. And my wife gets up, at, like, she leaves the house at, like, 4. She works for the government.
Goodness.
So she has to go to a commuter lot and then drive for, like, in the commuter lot for an hour. So her commute is terrible. I always feel bad for that, but we got to do what we got to do. So she leaves early and then I'm here early. I usually leave for work between like 9 and 10 in the morning. So we pretty much get all our homes, like most of the homeschooling done earlier. So we try to get up at like 6:30, definitely up by 7. And then we try to start doing the homeschooling stuff at like 7:30. And we do breakfast and then we do it at the table. And we try to do it for, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours or so a day. But what makes it work for us is we don't have a ton of time. So we do it what I call 365 days a year, like every single day, weekends, on vacation, holidays, like every day it's done. And then the kids have the expectation that they know they got to do it. So and then we just do it that way. And that's how we can get enough time in and get it done for us and then have them have free time. And I basically organize it and do most of the schooling. But my wife helps too and does a lot too.
So structure, scheduling, and a really strong routine are kind of your secrets.
Yeah, that works for us and that works for the kids. I think kids love structure and love routine and love doing it. I don't know if I say it love, but they get used to it and they have the expectation and know what they're going to do. So they know in the morning they're going to have breakfast and they're going to start doing lessons. And then we write them out, and we have our schedule, and we have a course book that we call like a calendar that has like all the subjects, and we write in each subject of what they're going to do on what day. And then they get it, you know, they know that they're going to do handwriting, and they know it's on page whatever in the book.
Right.
And then, you know, they have an expectation there of their five subjects, or there's usually like four or five, and then there's like a box that has like if we want to add stuff. And then there's two of them. I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. She just turned 9. So I got basically a third grade-ish and one first grade-ish. But we all know if we're homeschooling, we don't really go too much on grades because...
Exactly.
Yeah. They're both on the same level of math because my son who's younger is really good at numbers. So I think he gets that from me. And my wife isn't great at numbers. So I think the daughter gets that from her. So I think he's kind of ahead of where she was at the same time. When you have two and the second one and beyond, you learn. So you're like, okay, I know that's not going to work. So we're not going to try that this time. That was kind of time wasted. And then when she was learning at 3 and 4, he was 1 year old and sitting right next to her and playing with crayons or something. But he was still, I think, absorbing it. So he gets it. He seems to get a lot of the concepts and stuff quicker than she did, because I think it's kind of the second time subconsciously in his mind.
I would agree with that. Honestly, I know when I first started homeschooling, my oldest was, I had a 5 and 3-year-old at the time. And the 3-year-old just sat in my lap, you know. So yeah. If there was something where she could sit in my lap and kind of quote unquote participate, then we did. And then when she couldn't, like it, when it was math or something like I knew she wasn't going to sit still for, then I had a little activity for her on the side. But it was really amazing to me how quickly she was picking it up, because it was almost like she, like you said, it was like she already knew it. Like I was just reminding her because she had heard
right.
it before.
Well, I mean, and with my daughter, I tried a couple different curriculums to get to help to teach her to read, because mm-hmm. I mean, I know how to teach like high school stuff. I didn't realize how terribly hard it would be to teach a little kid to learn how to read, because how screwed up the English language is until you teach it. You're like, you know, she looked at me one day, she's like, Daddy, why does A have three sounds or more? I'm like, I don't know. It just does.
Yeah.
So we just have to deal with it. So it's one of those, but then you learn, you're like, okay. And then I found the 100 easy lessons to teach a kid to read. And I'm like, oh, this is like the best thing ever. And a bunch of homeschool people told me about it. And I'm like, cool, this will work. And then when I got my son, I'm like, okay, look, we're just going straight to the thing. And
exactly.
It works so much better than me trying other things that weren't as effective. So I was like, all right, let me go to the effective stuff right away.
Right.
So you kind of learn the little tricks and stuff by the time you get to the second one. But right. I think that's what any parent
yeah.
does every time.
Yeah,
like,
that's
yeah,
parenting,
I know that.
Right? That's just parenting. In
yeah.
general. So
yeah.
you mentioned
you think you know it when you have the first one, and then you realize you don't know anything, and then you figure it out, and then the second one you're like, okay, this is easy.
Yeah. So you mentioned 100 easy lessons to teach a kid to read, which has always been recommended. It's a great program. Are there other curriculums or workbooks or programs that you've used that you do like that make this easier and to do it in such a streamlined method like you're doing?
Yeah, I think so. My wife is really good at doing the like printing out all the stuff, finding different curriculums for us to try. So we use a different thing for like each subject. Like handwriting, we'll use one curriculum. Another one, we'll use another one. You know, I found that for me, like one, like trying to do one curriculum, one type of curriculum for all subjects didn't work. Especially with my kids, different learning styles for different things. Like some things they're interested in more, and you have to find something that works for them. And I think if you have multiple ones and you try different ones, you might find that your kids really like, they're like, oh, I like this one a lot better, Daddy. I'm like, sure. Well, then if you like it, you're going to be interested in it. If you're interested in it, you're going to learn it quicker. So whatever you're interested in, we'll go with. So, and math ones, I found some different math ones, but for me being a math guy, the numbers guy, I actually just do my own curriculum. Like I get a sheet out each day, and I've used, like we have a couple math books, but I do more of a math sheet and a math book. So I'll make up a math sheet where I do multiplication, addition, subtraction, fractions, time, you know, the different concepts of math, and I'll put them on there. And then sometimes I'll write my own word problems and stuff like that for them to do. So I find that I kind of did my own with math. But, you know, some of the reading ones, like different reading books we'll do a day and stuff like that. But that's more like my daughter, this horse lessons, so she started about horses, so we'll go to the library and she'll pick out, you know, her 10 horse books, and I'll be like, all right, go grab a horse book.
Right.
You know, if you can get them to do something that they want to do, that's always best, I think.
Absolutely. So you and your spouse are kind of, I mean, you're doing the predominant amount of the homeschooling in the mornings before you go off to work. And one of the questions I always ask is your spouse involved, and how is your spouse involved? So you mentioned
okay,
that
good.
she's kind of doing the research and picking out the curriculums and helping you find all of
right,
that.
Right. And she does teaching too, and she likes to do it. She has our household. You hear the unschooling and the more like learn kind of as you do stuff. That's totally her style, and my style is more more of the, you know, kind of older school, like, hey, let's write it down, let's do the handwriting, let's do the reading, let's do this stuff. So it's kind of a good balance. Like when they go with, you know, when it's a mommy day where mommy has to teach and do stuff, then they get to learn that way. And all she's good at, like, we got them laptops for Christmas, and we've got a couple websites that we like, and they're more game oriented. So they're, you know, my wife likes to do that with them, and they like that too. And we use that more as kind of almost as a reward, that like, hey, you have to do this stuff first, the stuff that's not so fun, then we'll do the other fun. So it's kind of, you can do learning for a longer period of time. And we'll use like Osmo and a tablet and different stuff. Now they're getting a little older, and my daughter's getting to the point where she can read instructions and kind of do it all on her own because her reading level got to that point. Now it's getting a lot easier to, you know, say, oh, let's do this. We'll read the directions. I'm not just going to tell you what to do anymore. And then she reads directions. Yeah. Son is still, I mean, he's in first grade, so he's getting to that point where he can read them, but it's just, yeah. So we do different styles when it comes to that. But also, I mean, if you have the schedule, the planner kind of has it out for the week. So we'll get up and we'll do stuff and get it done. And then if I'm not here, like if I'm away for like 4 or 5 days doing my racing, then they know what the expectation is of what to do. And we'll plan it out, and they know they're kind of weak. And if they ever want to do, if they don't want to do as much on a certain day, if they have plans to do something early, like sleep over a friend's house or something, then they get their, you know, they got to get their work done ahead of time. So they kind of double up or do as much as they can and kind of get proactive and take it into their own hands and know what's the expectation.
Okay. Well, that's great. You know, actually, that's one of the things I do with my kids as well, is I plan out the whole year at once, and basically it's all done in an Excel spreadsheet, and it's been the best, life changing thing we've ever done. It's great.
Yeah, I heard you did that, and I was like, oh my God, really? That sounds like what, I mean, that sounds way beyond something that I could do myself, plan out a whole year. But I mean, we have the curriculum, you have the stuff. Like for us, like the book is kind of nice, like a curriculum on geography. Well, okay, well, we know we want to finish this a year. There's 100 lessons in it, so right. You know, basically in 100 days we can get it done. Or do that every other day. So we kind of, I guess in a way you do that, like when you kind of do grades and stuff, we say, okay, we know we need to get this done in the year, and we start getting it done and we work on it. And doing it 365 days a year, which I'd recommend to anybody, everybody thinks it's crazy, but there's no degradation of learning. Like you teach them something on Friday, on Monday you have to reteach them, or if you take a week off, you have to reteach like 4 lessons. Right. There's never any of that. You just keep on building and you don't forget and you don't have to relearn stuff. So it makes it really easy for me when we transitioned to that. But we can go, actually, I went on a tangent here. I forgot what I was saying in the beginning. So it just works for us.
Right.
Even though it seems kind of odd, but because I know a lot of people take the summer off.
As long as it works for you guys, that's the point, right? One of the things I've done is, like, if you take part of it is the planning aspects kind of sucks up my brain power, to be honest. And so I'm not a naturally organized person. So like that is like a major ordeal for me to be that organized. So I basically devote several weeks during the summer to just hammering it all out. And then I don't have to think about it again.
Yeah. That
would other than, okay, this one has needed more time on this topic. So we're behind in math. So I just need to kind of go reorganize, kind of go restructure the math. But like that doesn't take as long. Like if you know the holidays you're going to take off, you know, my husband's a government employee, so we kind of know the federal holidays in advance. You kind of have that plan. You kind of have an idea of when the outside activities are going to force you to leave the house, and you can't do as much on that particular day. You know, you just kind of work around it. Like you said, you know, you decide we're going to do geography 3 days a week. And so you split it up, and it just kind of works.
Yeah. And for us, we know that if we're going to do an activity or something that day, we just have to get up a little earlier to get stuff done. And then some people are like, are you a morning person or not? And I'm like, to me, I think you make yourself a morning person. Meaning it takes like a week. Most kids that aren't morning people, the first thing I ask is what time they go to bed. Like, oh, my kids go to bed at 10. Like, really? Well, that seems super late. So they wake up at, you know, 8 o'clock, and we have to wake them up and they're grouchy. I'm like, well, if you wake me up, I'm going to be grouchy too. Go to bed early. Well, you have to wake them up earlier for a couple of days and force them to go to bed and force them to change their cycle. And that's what we found too. So, you know, we have a pretty strict schedule of a routine, you know, of a bedtime routine. But if they're used to getting up at a certain time, even if they go to bed late, like one day, they're still going to wake up normal. And I think we do that as humans too, you know, as adults. Like, hey, we normally go to bed at 10. If we go to bed at 12, we're still going to get up at 6 or whatever we get up. We'll have a little bit of a groggy day, but it's not a big deal if you do it repeatedly. So I think you can kind of force the morning into people and make them a morning person. Yet my wife is not super a morning person, so
I'm not either.
Some
people
need to sleep a lot more. Yeah,
I don't do well in mornings, and I have one kid. Well, one of mine. Well, she's a teenager now, so the morning thing is done. But she was the kid, like, I would have to force her to go back to bed. I'm like, it's 4 a.m. No, sun's not up.
Yeah.
Back to sleep. You know, like, she was like, yeah, but I'm ready. I'm like, no. No one else in the house is ready. Go back to bed.
Yeah. What we had to do was they both kids have a clock in their room. And even before they could really tell time, it's just a digital clock. We'd put a little post-it underneath that said 7.00. Like, you can get out of your room to go to the bathroom, but you got to go back to your room.
Yeah.
So if you're up and you have to play in your room, that's fine. But you're not allowed to come out of your room until 7.
Yes.
Now that they know how to tell time, they know it's 15 or 6:30 when daddy's home, and if mommy's home, it's 7 because mommy wants to sleep more. So, you know, it's just, but, you know, and if they're up at 6:15 and I'm up, because I usually get up at, like, between, you know, 6 and 6:30 or so, and they're up at 6:15, I'm up at, they're like, all right, let's go do stuff, or let's watch a quick, you know, TV show or something, just as like a, hey, let's do that. And they're into Life Below Zero right now, which is kind of the, I don't know if anybody knows, it's an Antarctic show where they're living off the land and stuff. So we try to do mainly nature or,
right,
you know, learning shows. We do watch TV, but we really don't watch much TV at all. Like, maybe a show every other day, or sometimes we'll go days or a week without even watching TV at all.
Well, what about getting out of the house? If you're, you're getting school done so early, but you're having to go kind of go off to work by 10.
Yep.
You know, the dreaded socialization question. How do you guys deal with that?
You know, I always find that to be the funniest question ever.
It really
is. Because I'm like, my memories of high school, I'm like, all right, so socialization, you learn how to deal with bullies, you learn how to deal with waiting and sitting in class for hours, waiting for the teacher to teach the kid that's behind, or taking attendance. And if you ever look at how much time is wasted in school, like when we did the math, I'm like, all right, we take 2 hours one-on-one, what does that actually equal compared to how much one-on-one interaction somebody gets at school? It's like double, like, or way more than double of what they get. So in like a year, we could actually teach 2 if we really wanted to push. So, but the socialization, like, we do gymnastics, and they've been doing gymnastics since like they're 1 year old. Like, we've been bringing them like toddler time. And so, but a funny part of that is we have gymnastics. They go to church on weekends. We have like nature classes where we go and do stuff. My kids are doing gymnastics, and they started doing the ninja part of gymnastics, where they kind of like American Ninja Warrior stuff, where you kind of do stuff. And they have their regular group. And then they have a homeschool group that they started, which is at like 3 o'clock, which I'm like, hey, I don't have to wait until way late dinner, because we go to bed early to get up early. That's perfect. It's interesting that the homeschool kids, that all of the ones that I've seen, and it probably goes to the parents who are more disciplined, I would assume, but they seem way more social, and they know what's expected, and I think they're set up for life so much better. In life, when you get a real job at a corporate, a lot of the attributes that you have to deal with in high school were bad kids and bad stuff. In real life, you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to put up with it. So having the kids that already said, look, this is not acceptable, I don't want to deal with this, is kind of a nice eye-opening thing that says, hey, we're not doing it bad here. We're doing it right.
Yeah. Well, what's it like being the homeschool dad? Because, you know, we were joking before we started recording about, you know, everything's geared to homeschool moms. What's it like being the homeschool dad surrounded by a bunch of homeschool moms?
It is interesting. Like, when I go, like the kids learned in one of our nature things, there's a homeschool mom, and she comes up, she's like, hey, do your kids play chess? And I'm like, no, but I know how. And I was like, yes, this would be a good time to introduce them. So I think it's chesskid.com, and she recommended. So I recommend this to anybody, because it's really good thinking ahead, and kids love it. So both of my kids like it. And my son's, he's numbers, and he thinks, you know, how many moves ahead can you think? And we've gone to tournaments and stuff, but it, you know, that type of stuff. So when I went there, it's like, okay, all the homeschool moms, but, you know, you learn different things. And I think we're, even as a homeschool dad, it never really affected me. It's all the same. Like, we're all the focused on the kids, focused on teaching and teaching different ways. Going to the conferences though, like when you try to learn that, you see a lot of dads, but you know, they're kind of following the mom. So,
right.
I get it. It's kind of like, it's all the same. It's all good. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say there is a dad listening out there who may maybe the thought was, I'll do the homeschooling and not the mom for whatever reason. As we wrap up, do you have any like thoughts or messages you'd like to get to the prospective or potential homeschool dads out there?
Yeah, I guess whenever you think about homeschooling, you pretty much predominantly think about the homeschool mom. So in Maine society, you think dad's the breadwinner, mom's the nurturer, takes care of kids. So when dad has to take on that role, there is kind of almost a role reversal too, where I think as long as the dad is strong with himself and doesn't have a big ego and stuff like that, like, it's fine. And I think today is way different than 20, 30 years ago, where there's so many role reversals and so much is acceptance in different ways where it's not a big deal. But I do get the weird, you tell people like, oh, you homeschool? Really? You're the one homeschooling? I'm like, yeah, I do it. It's fun. It's this and that. And
Have you been able to win any converts yet?
No. And I don't know. For us, our homeschooling is we go to a couple conferences. We're on a couple websites, on Facebook groups and stuff like that. But I haven't like converted anybody to homeschooling or anything like that. And nobody's really done it. But I mean, I've talked to a couple people that approach me like at work because they know I homeschool. And because, when you have a full-time job and you homeschool, it's kind of like, oh, he homeschools his kids. And, you always have the connotation of like, oh, why do they homeschool? You kind of get that weird vibe. You're like, okay, yeah, I'll explain it. So you always get because I think the preconceived notion is that you homeschool because you're on the kind of the one end of a religion, because a lot of like it's been perceived in the past religion, especially with Amish and stuff like that. So people homeschool when they're extremely religious and they want to kind of shelter their kids. And today it's not that. I mean, maybe there is some of that, but I mean, you want to protect your kids, but I want to protect them. And there's negative elements of life that I don't think that they need or be exposed to, or there's no positive or benefit long-term to it. So I don't do it, but I don't like keep them in the house and hide them either. And then the other aspect is your kid is really bad or something, and they're like, oh, they must have gotten kicked out of school, so you have to homeschool. I'm like, well, that's not the case either. So you just want the best education and the best life experience that you can get for them, and teach them the way that you think should be taught. Because I think the first 6 months or a year of homeschooling, way overwhelming. Like, you're like, oh my god, I can't do this. And just take it a day at a time. You'll figure it out that it's really not that. But it's people throw like 50 things at you at once when you start homeschooling. You're like, especially if you're coming from like probably a public school to that, is that it might, I think it's harder, because if you start with little, you're only teaching little stuff. And then when you progress to teach more complicated subjects and material, you kind of know their style of learning, you know what they're going to do, you know what's good, and you know it works. So when you do it that way, it's different. Another thing we always get is that whenever I tell people I homeschool, they're like, oh, how old are they? I'm like, well, they're little. Well, are you going to send them to high school? I'm like, that's not the plan. But I think people assume that you homeschool only into high school too. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's definitely not the plan, because I don't know what memories you guys have of high school, but mine are not super positive. So, and mine are of a lot of wasted time and stuff like that. And most of the homeschool stuff that I see is that, the kids go through high school way quicker because you're not wasting time and you can focus on it and you can actually learn at an accelerated rate if you want to. So yeah, I don't plan on sending them to high school at any point. And once we basically get done with that, we'll do college if needed, or vocational, or a training or a skill for life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for your time today and spending your time here with us.
All right. Anytime.
Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me, so thank you. Please be sure to check out the show notes for the links to my site, workingmomhomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways you can connect with me online. And I do appreciate our listener supporters. So if you're enjoying today's podcast, you too can support us with a small monthly donation that's going to help me continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working While Homeschooling podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. I appreciate your online reviews, all of you that are subscribing to our podcast, and thank you to all of you who are sharing this with your homeschooling friends. If you know someone that you think would be a great guest of our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingmomhomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you to Troy for being our guest. And everyone, please make sure you're joining us in our Facebook group for continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.